West's third listening party for his latest album, Donda, was straight fire. No, but really, Kanye lit himself on fire.
I mean, it was just fun to just do something from our heart.
On Thursday, the 44-year-old rapper hosted his most recent in a string of Donda listening parties at Soldier Field in his hometown of Chicago. And Kanye, he set himself on fire in a stunt that thankfully was just that, a stunt. The whole thing happened at the end of the show while the Grammy winner stood in front of a replica of his childhood home. But the runaway rapper's fiery performance wasn't the only thing that got people talking.
I'm just extremely happy. Can you tell by my face?
Kanye brought out two celebs who are currently facing controversy, Marilyn Manson and DaBaby. The rocker, who was dropped by his label earlier this year after a number of women came forward accusing him of physically, mentally, and sexually abusing them, joined Kanye on the field. As for DaBaby, whose homophobic rant at the Rolling Loud Festival in Miami earlier this month led him to being dropped from several other festivals, he showed up and took over Jay-Z's verse on a Donda track that was previously played at the first listening party in Atlanta.
And you can tell my baby mamas get the bare money. I said one thing they ain't like through me, I like they ain't care for me.
Of course, all this comes after Kanye straight up levitated with the help of some wires and dramatic lighting during his second Donda listening party in Atlanta earlier this month.
You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're going to talk about Kanye West and his new album, Donda. So much to talk about. Do you care? Do you care? You probably care. That's probably why you're listening, right? Today we're going to talk about the album itself, the track listing. We'll talk about some of the bizarre symbolism at his concerts. And then you'll hear my worthless opinion on it. Why not, right? We'll talk about some of the guests he had. This is bizarre. This is a weird, weird development, this whole Kanye West Donda thing. So without further ado, let's get into it. I've talked about Kanye West for many, many, many episodes. If you've been subscribed, as you should be, to the show, you know that we've talked about him for many times, probably more than any other truther, I would argue. I never know what to think about this guy, right? Like, He's going back to like 2015, 2016. He's ranted and raved about stuff that I was able to find some truth in when he was on Sway. And what else was he on? Breakfast Club. The media was blasting him. And I thought, wow, this poor guy. He's just talking about the truth. Then he was going around, I believe it was UCLA or something to that effect. One of these schools talking about the Illuminati. Then he was doing his St. Pablo concert and had a mental breakdown and got MKUltra'd. It's so much. Then he went and refound his roots as a Christian, because, you know, he started out with, he was like a backpack rapper with the Jesus Walk stuff. And I didn't really like Kanye West's early backpack rap days. Not really my speed. I don't know. That just never grabbed me. He re-embraced those Christian roots more recently, dropped a straight-up gospel album, and then fast forward to this week, to August of 2021, and we get Donda, which is, I would argue, another gospel album. And boy, I get torn all around, because this guy, and we're going to talk about this stuff as it's presented to us by the mainstream media and the entertainment industry as fact. We'll pretend it's fact, okay? I will suspend disbelief. Because what they tell us is, you know, Kanye West is this visionary. He's an artist. He's making his own beats. He's writing his own rhymes. He's a visionary. But, you know, there's an argument that could make sense. That the powers that be tell him what to say, what to do. And they establish everything. And they put who they want in the limelight and who they want at the top of the charts and all that stuff. And it goes on and on, right? The whole manufactured music industry idea, which I would argue is probably true. I don't know where the truth lies with this specific instance. But let's just pretend that Kanye, because I don't want to argue about that, right? Let's pretend Kanye West is really a visionary artist, because it seems that way. I would argue it is. If you listen to his albums, I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for 808s and Heartbreak. When it came out, I was like, yeah, more trash from this Kanye West guy. I don't like this music. But then over time, it turned out to be a pretty good album. Same with My Dark Twisted Fantasy. One of the greatest albums of all time. But let's see. All right, so he's been talking about this Donda album. Obviously going through this divorce with Kim Kardashian. Very public issue going on. He's been going crazy, buying property up in Wyoming and doing church services and talking about building these like homeless villages and stuff, which is great. I love that. Go for it, bro. I love that. Finally, someone with lots of money who's doing something cool. So I have this weird love-hate with Kanye West. It's a very strange dynamic I have. But this whole Donda thing, it started out, he was in Atlanta doing the album release party through Apple, and he put on this whole concert, and you can't really find a good quality version of it on the YouTubes and whatnot. So I would have done a show right off the bat, but I was like, I don't have enough to work on here. Then he started one in Chicago, and he started building his childhood home, because that's where he's from, Chicago, inside the stadium, which is pretty crazy. And he was showing on his social media feeds pictures of him in this dark room inside of the stadium working on the album. And he kept delaying the album release. And I even commented on it. I said, Obama was right. This guy is a jackass. Because he is. Ugh. I mean, you can be a jackass and be a great artist too, right? It's a weird dynamic that I can think someone's a jackass and still listen to their music and like them. They don't need to be canceled. But from the leaked video snippets I saw from the Apple album release deal, he was at the center of the stage and the audience was sort of walking in a circle around him, rotating one direction while he rotates in the other inside the circle. And he's got a cape and it looks like Phantom of the Opera and it makes no sense. I wish I could have seen the whole event. So if you got the whole event, hit me in the DMs on the Instagram at Isaac Weisop. I'll take a peek. I'd like to see a clean video of the whole thing, but I couldn't find it, but I'm an idiot, so what do I know? Maybe it's out there and I just missed it. I mean, my concern and care about this is minimal at the moment because I am deep into the world of 9/11 because I've got not one, not two, not three, but four shows planned to talk about 9/11 with you, my dear audience. So you better stay subscribed. Better stay liked and subscribed because we're going to go into 9/11 hard in the paint. Kanye's small peanuts to me right now. So let's talk about this circular audience thing. This was very similar to the Muslim Hajj, where they go to Mecca and they walk in a clockwise circle around the Kaaba, the big Saturnian black cube. Black cube that holds the and look, I'm no expert on Islam, but it holds a special place in the hearts of Muslims. That's why they face Mecca when they pray every day. You know the drill. So that made me think of that. Because Kanye, he said that he should have been in the Bible. I mean, he's talked, he's put himself on this deification pedestal before. And this is where I get confused about Kanye West, because he has these heavy Christian messages and themes and ideas and projects. But then he like takes it to this next level of like, I don't know, sort of saying he's God. So anyway, so like I see this and I think, geez, what is he, the next Allah? What is this? But I didn't hear anything on the album that, we'll talk about the album. I didn't hear anything on the album that would suggest that. I gave it one solid listen. Well, on the first, the Atlanta concert, it culminates with the final track of Donda, at least at the time, called No Child Left Behind, because they messed with the tracks, okay? Long story short. And they show him levitating. Levitating at the end of the show. And we're going to talk about the symbolism behind that. It's like the book of Revelation. Christ is taking his children with him in the final days of the ascension. How presumptuous of Kanye to think he's being invited. What does he know? So at the time, and I sort of compiled notes as time went by, trying to wrap my head around what's going on with Kanye West. And the track listing, I looked at the track listing, and you've got all these tracks like Praise God, Jonah, Heaven and Hell, New Again, Pure Souls, Keep My Spirit Alive, Jesus Lord, I Know God Breathed Through This, Lord I Need You, etc., etc. Clearly a gospel album. Clearly. Right? There's even a track called 24, and if you look at the lyrics, it says the devil's a lie, and now he finna. Finna what? I don't know. That's where it ends. He finna. Okay. Then he's releasing cryptic artwork on Instagram. He shows us his childhood home. This is when he started building it in the Chicago Stadium. Then he showed a dove, which I would argue maybe he's showing the Holy Spirit who come down as the dove in the Holy Transfiguration. Maybe he's saying he's baptized into Christ. Maybe he's saying he's God. Maybe he's the dove. The Holy Spirit has come down and blessed him personally, and that's why he levitates at the end of the show. Now, it's curious because, and we'll cover this Chicago concert. I'm trying to hit this sort of chronologically. Okay. Now, it's curious because Drake, who I would argue represents the other side of the opposing forces, I would argue he represents some satanic dark forces. He's always doing the six symbol. He's got the whole song. He's got the owl with October Very Own label, which is the owl symbol that you find from the goddess Minerva, which is tied to Gnosticism, which says that the Christian God is the devil. And then you got Kanye West over here saying, praise be to the Christian God, Jesus Christ. So is it that we're watching some kind of ritualistic opposing forces playing out? Is this all for show? I would argue that that's the case. It's everything is wrestling, okay? From politics to entertainment, this is the same concept. You've got these opposing forces. And we're going to talk about this with 9/11 on my 9/11 shows, by the way. I'm covering 9/11 from the angle of occult symbolism. It's going to take me 4 hours to get through it with you. But you're going to understand what it's all about with the opposing forces, the reconciliation of opposites, the twin towers, the twin pillars of Kabbalah. It's all going to make sense. Well, maybe. Maybe it'll make sense. But I argue that what we're watching here, Drake and Kanye, is opposing forces playing out ritualistically. Now, before the Chicago concert and the actual Donda album release, he and Drake were going back and forth, firing shots on the social media, trolling on each other. But this is like boxing and wrestling. It's, and we don't know where reality ends and showmanship begins. Maybe they're just getting your attention to sell their records. because they're both dropping records. Drake's dropping CLB, Certified Lover Boy, which is very strange because he's been promoting it with the heart logo shaved into his head. And the similarity of the words, Certified Boy Lover, right? You get it? Don't make me say it. You get what I'm saying? But that was like a logo, the double hearts is a logo on that pizza memo from the, you know, the federales. So a lot of people saying, what the heck? Then you look at all Drake's improprieties messaging young girls that are under 18. Billie Eilish and what's that girl from Stranger Things, I think. That goes on and on. So I don't know what's up with that. But hey. And he's the one with the Moloch, or the Minerva symbol with the owl, whom they sacrifice children to. And this started back, the real beef, the real drama with Drake and Kanye, when we're talking about relatively recently, because they've done tracks together, but back in 2018, if you recall, Kanye West and Pusha T released some diss tracks revealing the truth that Drake had a son that he wasn't telling the world about. And then the memes started unrolling, making fun of this poor kid and how Drake ignored him and didn't tell anyone about his own child. But maybe he did it for his own protection. We don't know. Then Drake has a song called In My Feelings, which you've surely heard. One of the biggest songs of hell all time. And he's talking about making sexy time with Kanye's then wife, Kim Kardashian. Yes. That's who he's talking about when he says, Kinky, do you love me? Are you riding? He's talking about Kim Kardashian. Alleging that he had slept with Kanye's wife. So Kanye, not very happy about this, he disses Drake on his new album on the OK OK track. Then Drake disses Kanye back on a track called Betrayal. Then Kanye doxes Drake and releases his addy to the public. Then Drake fans start leaving Drake signs and vandalizing Kanye's actual childhood home. It's getting out of hand. But again, could all be for ritualistic theater. Kanye's album dropped on Sunday, August 29th. And Drake's album releases on Friday, August 3rd. And I'm recording this show on, what's the date? Monday, August 30th. So depending on when you actually hear this, because I gotta put it on my supporter feeds first. They get early access. Depending on when you hear it, there might be new revelations since. This is current up until Monday, August 30th. Then we get the Chicago concert. And you can find better clips of this than you can the Atlanta concert. But this was very interesting because you had some special guests. Yeah, special guests. We had Marilyn Manson, honorary priest in the Church of Satan. We had DaBaby, canceled from a million concerts because he said some stuff about people with HIV. And Marilyn Manson, of course, being Me Too'd, claims of sexual assault and improprieties and all these kinds of things. But ultimately, here's the thing, and I'll take this stance with you. I never advocate for canceling. Cancel culture, I always advocate for path to salvation. And whether it's true and heartfelt or not, I don't know. You know, DaBaby was trying to drop apologies. It's like, we can't cancel everybody, can we? Who's going to be left? We all fall short of the glory of God, I always say. But ultimately, I'm good with these things, because a lot of people threw a fit. They said, what the heck? Why's Kanye West got devil worshippers and homophobes and bring them up on stage? Why? Why? You know, Jesus was hanging out with the prostitutes. So, like, ultimately, I'm good with this. Who's going to teach Marilyn Manson the way to Christ? Not any of the Satanists he's hanging out with. So, yeah, that happened. Even Kim Kardashian didn't know. Oh, duh. Kim Kardashian showed up. In a wedding dress, no less. And, well, maybe I should rap. She showed up in a wedding dress, no less. And she didn't know Marilyn Manson and DaBaby were going to be there. She was very upset about that, apparently. Another curiosity that I didn't see the mainstream media pick up on, but Adam22 from No Jumper, Ruga. He's like a local Chicago rapper, played this song called GD Anthem. I don't know what it is. I had to look it up. But it's basically Gangster Disciples sort of theme song, I guess. I don't know. It's about a gang up in Chicago, the Gangster Disciples. And this was apparently on the album too, these kinds of ideas. So is Kanye West a gangster disciple? I don't know. But there's a track, track's called Jesus Lord. They've got messages from Larry Hoover Jr., who, if you don't know who that is, his father, Larry Hoover Sr., was the founder of the Gangster Disciples. And he's talking about the American criminal justice system, which again, I'm cool with that. I think it needs some work. If you recall, Kanye and Kim were trying to work with El Presidente Trump on that kind of stuff. And I believed, if I'm not mistaken, they passed some kind of reform. I don't know how extensive it was or how far it went. Not a focus area of mine, but I'm always down for some criminal justice reform. Those privatized prison systems are a real problem. Okay. Unicor, basically slavery, modern day slavery. That's how you get all those little office supplies. It always says Unicor. That's because they had some prisoners working as slave labor to make those things. Ironically, President Trump was also invited to show up, but he did not. Now, there's been some drama since the album dropped. DaBaby, who was at the concert, he was on the album, but then he wasn't. And he was like, what the hell? And then Kanye was like, hey, what the hell? Then they put it back on. Then Kanye says he didn't approve the release of the album on Sunday. Then Soulja Boy was mad his verse wasn't on the album, and he's been talking mad-ish since then. He released his own verse on his Instagram. Cowboy, he's mad too. He had a verse. He's dropping his verse too. Chris Brown's mad. Nobody knows why he's actually on the album. Oh my gosh. But everyone's been talking about Donda on the social media, listening to the album. Oh, greatest artist, greatest album ever. But it still didn't beat Drake's Scorpion album opening day streams on Spotify. Now, what should we do? Before we get into the... I'll give you my album critique at the end. Let's talk about the symbolism. You noticed Kanye has been wearing a full face mask as a promotion for this album. This, I argue, is a Freemasonic ritual. The hoodwink, covering up the eyes, covering up the face. And we talked about this in 2020, as you could imagine, with all the mask drama. And if you recall, we talked about three stages in the ritual process to transform the initiate. You got isolation, you got the transition, then you got the reintegration. Now the isolation, that's what Kanye showed us in the concert, right? You remember when, stadium? But I lost my train of thought. Kanye, oh yeah, he's in the stadium. He's by himself in the room preparing the last track. So he showed it to you on his Instagram, and everyone was talking about it. Oh, Kanye's hold up to finish his album. What an artist! Well, that's the first stage of the ritual: isolation for purification. You remove oneself from the mundane, from the world. Removed from the world where everything is familiar. This is he was social distancing, we could call it. And then he's wearing the mask. And this is, again, more isolation, more forcing one to face their own shadow from inside. This is done to suppress the ego so that the new one can come to surface. You go deeper into yourself. Sometimes they use trauma to accentuate the process, the fear of death, confronting death to be reborn. It's to disorient, to induce anxiety, remove one from the reality, and allows one to be broken down and be reprogrammed. So he wears the mask, he goes into isolation. Then stage two is the transition. This is the threshold of the new. Symbolically, the old self dies, goes into the void in the middle, and the initiation will get purification. The initiate, Kanye, will be reprogrammed into the new environment. A transformation begins. This is, and if you look at, there's headlines talking about Kanye going into the void, which is the exact language used when you research these topics. Then finally, the third phase is integration. This is the actual new normal, the great reset, we could say. Kanye goes through the whole initiation ritual, symbolically. That's why he's wearing the mask. That's why he holds himself up in the stadium. And he is reborn as the Phoenix, which you saw. And now we're going to move into the symbolism of the final concert, the one that I was able to see more of than the other. When Kanye, he sets himself on fire. Alchemically, this is the final stage. He's the Phoenix. He's reborn. We saw this same thing from Travis Scott in his Quintana video. Travis Scott was on fire doing the grand hailing sign of distress, the Freemasonic stance. Which is no surprise. Travis Scott is plugged into the same Illuminati Kardashian clan as Kanye West is. You recall, I've talked about Travis Scott many times too, including the Super Bowl where he was the fallen angel. Right in your face. Right in your face. And then he had the album artwork for The Highest in the Room, which was the ladder reaching to the heavens, a Freemasonic symbol. And, you know, he was hooked up with Kylie Jenner. As you know, related to Kim Kardashian's sister, right? And Kanye was putting Travis Scott on through his good music label. So these two go way back. And we see the same symbolism from Travis Scott as we do Kanye West. Because it was a ritual. And it ended with the Phoenix. Now, to talk about the levitation part of this thing, well, it depends on what angle you want to take with Kanye, because I certainly don't know. But the levitation, this is one of the supernatural powers, the CDs. We've talked about this when it comes to superheroes. When you look at the Tibetan masters, the ascended masters that Helena Blavatsky was always talking about. We saw this in the movie E.T., where E.T. gives Elliot the CDs, the powers, to levitate the bike. Talked about it in my second Alien book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult. Use your illusion too. Amazon, Audible. I would recommend the Amazon version. I mean the paperback version, because you got photos to go with it. Selling them still in the Gumroad store. Gumroad.com/IsaacW. Got some more in stock if you want them. We talked about this concept with levitation as it pertains to witches as well. If you recall, back in March 2020, I did a film analysis of The Witch. A brilliant pairing with The Lighthouse, I must say. It's actually two of my favorite shows I've ever done. Because I thought it was very clever. Yes, patting myself on the back for that one. Because The Witch and The Lighthouse were, again, the idea of opposing forces. The masculine and the feminine. Because in The Witch, you find out, you know, you just eat them kids and now you can levitate. But we're going to, again, not to keep talking about it, but we're going to discuss this in more detail with the 9/11 shows. I got a lot to talk to you about with that. Well, then in the show, he sort of remarries Kim Kardashian. She comes out in the white wedding dress. And people are like, well, does that mean they're getting back together? I mean, maybe. But you know how these celebs are. Anything for money or publicity. Kiki here, she got famous from the, I want to be crude, but I'm not going to be. She did the adult film with Ray J, if you recall. That's how she got famous. Because she was friends with Paris Hilton, who was famous for the sake of being famous. So, yeah, I mean, is it past her to to come out with the guy who she's going through a messy divorce with and put on a wedding dress? I mean, these people are crazy. They'll do anything. Finally. What you came here for. My opinion of the album. Nah, do you care? You shouldn't care. What do I know? I'm no music expert. It's fine. I don't know, it's fine. He's got... Dude always has, like, great production, great beats. Again, are they all from the mind and the work of Kanye? Maybe. We don't know. If you look at the production credits, they all have his name on it, but they also have, like, 10 other names. So who really created these things? This is a very common music industry tactic. When they put a slow people down as the... If you look up, like, songwriters... Who wrote this song? Oh, 10 people wrote the song. Really? 10 people? And of course, the artist in question will always be on the list. But, I mean, did they just, did someone else write it and say, here, what do you think of this? And the artist was like, yeah, I concur. Let's go. Get in the booth. And the same goes for Drake. I've been talking a lot of smack on the social medias. Why do I do it? I don't know. Because honestly, like, as much, I hated Drake when he came out, but I came around since, and I can appreciate that here's a guy who's able to hit pop and the R&B and the rap, and he does all very well. Makes very catchy music, mixes up the style very well. I actually like Drake a lot. Is he even the best rapper of all time? No. Does he have ghostwriters? Probably. But don't you think all these writers do? But he definitely deserves some kind of kudos, this guy. And I've always said he's going to be the king. He's going to dethrone Michael Jackson. And I don't know why it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. Because, I mean, this guy's consistent. You're talking about a guy that can knock it out of the park almost every single time? That's Drake. Kanye's over here doing weird stuff. And I'll give it to him. At least, you know, at least Kanye, he's always swinging for the fences. So that goes a long way with me. I appreciate that. And honestly, like, if you want a rap gospel album, this is the best one in all of human history. When I first played it, the first few tracks, I was like, oh, this is fire. This is exactly what everyone's talking about. I get it. But then as the album went on past like five tracks, I was like, oh, make this stop. And then the whole album, there's a couple of standouts. Overall, it's got way too many tracks, too much fluff nonsense of him doing his, I don't know, vocal ranging on the track. Like, bro, just do the song. And like, again, I'm not trying to take anything away from Kanye. I mean, he's made some great music in his life, better than I can make. I'm over here critiquing the guy. Like, what am I gonna make a great rap song? It has a very pretentious vibe, as it, of course it does. It's Kanye West. You don't have the president of the United States call you a jackass unless there's some truth to it. You know what I'm saying? And he's from Chicago, too. That's the thing about it. It's just so pretentious. The track, when you listen to it, the tracks, they'll repeat the same line over and over. It's like, okay, either he's too lazy, he's too full of himself, he loves hearing his own voice. It's all a bit abstract. A couple tracks. Listen to the first track, Donda. Listen to No Child Left Behind. Like, he just repeats the same lines over and over. And you're like, bro, what are you doing? But yeah, that first track, a woman's repeating Donda in different sort of inflections and tones for like 5 minutes. And this is Neuralink linguistic programming at its finest. And he should know, he's been MK Ultra'd. He wants you to go into this thing with the album drilled into your brain to the point of, like, absurdity. And the album itself, definitely not a party starter, which I'm always down for a party starter. Look, life's tough enough, okay? I'm not one of these pretentious kind of guys like, you know, some of these truthers be like, oh, I only listen to conscious black rap, Public Enemy, you know. Not me. Give me the dumb stuff. Fill my brain with thought shit. You know what I'm saying? Migos. That's like, I always tell you I'm not a good Christian, and it's true. It's true. And, you know, I mean, I appreciate an album like this. Like, I give it a good single spin. But ultimately, life's tough, man. Like, sometimes you got to get your energy up. You got to be in a good mood. I realize that Migos and all this stuff, they're rapping about shooting and killing people. But it's got a fun beat. And you're listening to satanic stuff. Like, I get that on some levels. But, like, for me, that's not what it represents. For me, it's, you know, just lyrical sort of wizardry. Having fun on a beat. Making things rhyme. I appreciate the Dr. Seuss capabilities there. I can appreciate that. Yeah, but, you know, there's flaws to it, right? Like, you know, they are talking about selling drugs and killing people. And that's very influential. And, hey, I get it. But Kanye West, I can appreciate that he's putting a Christian album together. But homie's nuttier than a squirrel turd. So, I don't know. What do we do with that? I'm arguing that in 2 weeks, no one's going to talk about this Kanye West album again. Never again. Drake's Certified Lover Boy will create way more radio bangers than this. And also to critique, like, because he's going the Christian gospel route on this album, which I appreciate. First off, let's make sure I'm not misleading you. I appreciate that he's trying that, because I wish I loved gospel music, but I don't. For being an uplifting Christian album, it sure had a bummer vibe to it. Sure had some bummer vibes. And finally, my favorite track, my favorite verse, if you go to OK OK Part 2, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Shinseya, I never heard of her. I think she's the one that crushed it. You probably thought I was going to say Jay-Z. You probably thought I was going to say DaBaby, but no. No. You're going to say, nah, he's tweaking. And I'm not an expert on Jamaican dancehall rap, but I like it when I like it. And don't call me Chet Hanks, but I get it. You know what I'm saying? I was in Jamaica one time, and I was talking rap music with the cabbie. And he said, hey, man, you got to check out Vibes Cartel. I didn't know who he was. And he's cool. I like Vibes Cartel. I can't understand some of the things they're saying, you know. But she's linked in with this guy. He's like the biggest rapper in all of Jamaica. But she's the only one that breathed any kind of liveliness into this whole dreadful album. I mean, you got Fivio Foreign. I like Fivio Foreign. I don't know if I'm even pronouncing his name right. I like his stuff. Every time I hear his stuff, I like him. Because he's kind of fun, you know. Sometimes he has fun stuff to say. That's what I liked about Eminem when he first came out. If you could give me the first two Eminem albums over and over again, I would say Eminem's the greatest rapper alive. Because the guy really is probably the best lyricist on the planet. But Dr. Dre ruined him. Dr. Dre was like, no, Slim Shady, you need to be angry. And then the music was a bummer after that. I was like, dude, you were making me laugh, man. You were like if Weird Al Yankovic was a better rapper. And he blew it. Anyway. So, OK OK Part 2 is great. Shinseya, whatever her name is, Shinseya. That was great. And that was my favorite on the whole album. But ultimately, it's fine. It's better than I could create, so kudos. But in conclusion, the album, again, Kanye's ego is bigger and better than his music, as always. Drake's gonna hit way more bangers out the park than this album will. But ultimately, I appreciate he's able to make a Christian album that wasn't hard to listen to. It wasn't bad. But it was much more melancholy than I would want. But who cares what I think, right? So that's it. I'll try to find more for you. Oh, man. Horns are honking. It's getting real gangster. I gotta get going here. One last thing. I gotta plug the Patreon. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, or you can go to my Rockfin, or you can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section, link in the show notes. I just uploaded a full show about my experience on Sirius XM on Shade 45. I was on the All Out show defending my rap book, rap conspiracy book, back in 2016. And if you want to go down history lane there, oh boy, it was a humiliation ritual to the extreme. I was on there with Rude Jude, and we talked about my book. And he basically opened up the floodgates for the callers. They all called and said I should kill myself and how wrong I was. And inevitably, I would argue, if you would ask those same people today if conspiracies are real or not, they would have a full change of heart. So it turns out I was right in the end. So anyway, that's only a supporter-only bonus show I did for the month of August. Again, there's three places you can go. Link in the show notes, as always. Thank you for your support. And keep dropping those reviews. I'm going to read them. Until Halloween of 2021, I'm going to read all the reviews. If you like the show, that's how you can help out. All right, thanks for your time. Until next time, stay woke.